15 verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath, we went outside by the gate by the river, where we supposed there would be a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is printed in your bulletin. And I will read the light verses, and you will read the bold verses. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Selah.
That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us.
May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. And now the second lesson comes from Revelations, chapter 21, verse 10, and 22 through 25. And in the spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of the heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel for the sixth Sunday of Easter is taken from John. I invite you to stand as you're able. Beginning with verse 23, chapter 14. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any youth, children, to come forward with the children's message at this time. Hi, Maddie. Hi, Adeline. So, have you ever had a dream? Something when you're sleeping and you dream about something that happened? Well, do you remember any of them? Any that you would share in public? Well, I remember, actually, my daughter has more dreams than I've ever had, I think. She's quite the avid dreamer. And she had a dream recently. She's getting married the end of September. Daughter's name is Amanda. And she had this dream about her wedding. Her fiance, had a ring designed and gave it to her. And it's a beautiful engagement wedding ring. And so she had this beautiful wedding service. It was in the Roman Catholic Church. Lots of people there, great music. And then they were down at the reception following the wedding. And she was standing there and she looked down on her ring and she had this beautiful ring on her finger. And then she looked at the person who was standing next to her, and it was Anthony. And that's a problem because Anthony was not her fiancé. Her fiancé is Conrad. Amanda was happy, but she had the right ring on. She just had the wrong guy standing next to her. She looked across the room, and Conrad, her fiancé, was standing over there. And he looked pretty happy, too, but he was kind of confused because he wasn't up there where she was at. And she really didn't want to get divorced right after getting married, but she wasn't sure how she was going to do this. She had a tough dream. I'm wondering what other ones are going to happen between now and September. Dreams are kind of like visions. They give you that anticipation of the future with imagination or wisdom, is how the dictionary explained it. In the lesson from Revelations, it talks about John had a vision about a new heaven, a new earth, about a river of life, about the tree of life, leaves for the healing of the nation, streets of gold, this amazing picture of what heaven might be like, a safe place where there's no longer any pain. And then in the lesson from Acts that was read, Paul had a vision that he was supposed to go to a place called Wrangell. Okay, it really wasn't Wrangell. It was Macedonia, but it was across the body of water, so it was kind of like Wrangell. Anyway, so he goes to this place called Macedonia and meets up a person named Lydia. And the text told us that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly about Jesus. And that's my prayer for you this morning, that God will open your heart to listen eagerly about Jesus. And when I think about how you might listen eagerly, I think about maybe listening with a sense of anticipation, because you kind of have to stay awake. You're anticipating something good is going to happen. And so those are different things that I think about how God communicates with us and how we open ourselves up to hearing God speak to us. Sometimes it might happen through singing or through reading the Bible or through visiting with your parents or other people. Sometimes it might even happen through a dream or a vision. All those ways that God seeks to become real in our lives. Will you pray with me? Dear God, open our hearts to listen eagerly to you and make yourself real to us. Amen. So a cookie shape for this morning is something kind of out of the ordinary, because this is kind of an out of ordinary vision, dream, prophet, all that sort of thing. So it's an ice cream cone. A way to think about how new things that God might be doing to you and through you and with you to open yourself up to the new thing that God is creating in all of us. So I invite you to take one and invite the congregation to join in singing Lord of the Dance. It's our next hymn. It's printed in your bulletin. It's a familiar tune, a hymn about the life of Jesus, and it's best sung probably standing up if you're able, as we are dancing in this.
When the world was begun, and I danced in the moonlight. and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Yes, then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance, they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John, they came with me and the dance went on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. On a Friday when the sky turned black, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all, wherever you may be.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever dreamed of being able to fly? I have. I'm not sure if it was an actual dream or just a yearning to be able to soar like an eagle above the narrows that I see. Perhaps that's why I find this vision that St. John had in our text from the revelation of St. John so amazing this morning. Did you hear it? Revelations 21, verse 10. And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It's as though St. John was flying when he spoke of the Spirit carrying him away to a mountain. It's a vision about a day to come when God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. It's a vision where he sees the river of the water of life with the tree of life on either side, yielding fruit for every month of the year. I grew up in northeast Colorado, an area that gets a fraction of the rain that Petersburg receives. As you drive through the dry sagebrush, you can see the vibrant green trees and wildlife along the South Platte River, a river which brings life to a parched land. There are times when our lives seem parched, times when we're drained by the demands of family or work or health issues, drained by the consuming effort to make ends meet between paychecks, the push to be successful, and perhaps dried up by our shortcomings. We may be fearful about what the future holds and long for refreshment. Into our dry days flows the river of life as we recall the waters of our baptism, waters which refresh us with God's love that never runs dry. In St. John's vision, the water from the river of life brings forth leaves from the tree of life, leaves for the healing of the nations. His vision highlights a great need of our world today, this healing of the nations. George Carlson writes, "Here and now, displaced persons need homes. Here and now, diseases need a cure. Here and now, weapons need to be turned into productive tools. Here and now, lonely people need friends. Here and now, those in prison need visitors. Here and now, we need each other as siblings in a beloved world community, all created in God's image. Here and now, all the nations, indeed all of us, need healing, unquote. Another picture of God's realm is that short phrase in verse 25. Its gates will never be shut by day. The city of God is a perfectly safe place, so its gates never close. There's no need for anyone to live in a gated community. Isn't that the security that we all seek? To live in a place where the gates are never closed. You never have to lock your house. You never have to worry about a child being abducted or harmed. In contrast to our world, the city of God is perfectly safe. That is our destiny. But in the meantime, we know that isn't the world that we live in. Perhaps that's why Jesus commanded us in our gospel last Sunday to love one another and repeats that message in our gospel for today. It's a commandment that's incredibly easy to understand and incredibly hard to live. We love because God first loved us. Living in that love, we are changed. It may not happen overnight. It may take days or months or years, a lifetime, but we are changed. It's true that God loves us just the way we are, but God loves us too much to leave us just the way we are. The more fully we understand how much we have been forgiven, the more we're enabled to forgive and love each other. But love isn't just a feeling, it's an action. It's obedience. And make no mistake, it's challenging. Just as Jesus washed his disciples' feet, so he expects us to serve each other. In fact, commands us to love one another even to the point of giving our life for one another. To even begin to live with that kind of love, the disciples are going to need a presence of God in their midst. Jesus offers that presence when he promises to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to teach them everything and remind them of what he has taught them. That is one of our prayers for Eva and Jillian, for Laura and Loudon, Avery, Peyton, and the class of 2019 that will graduate on Tuesday, that the Holy Spirit will continue to teach them everything, that they may never doubt that the Holy Spirit's presence in their lives, that they will know that God is always with them no matter what. They have the same promise that God spoke to Joshua as he took over from Moses, leading the people of Israel into the promised land. From Joshua chapter 1. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As our graduates prepare for what lies ahead, perhaps moving from home to college to new environments, may you always be mindful that you have reason to be strong and of good courage, not frightened or dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you. It's a hopeful word that all of us need to remember when we're surrounded by news that highlights our brokenness of our world and the challenges of life. Jesus promised not to leave his disciples alone, but to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with them. But that isn't all that Jesus left them with. Jesus' parting gift to the disciples was peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Those are fitting parting words to our graduates as well. Peace is a parting gift and is a need sorely in our community and our world today. In fact, for some, it is absent. In today's passage, Jesus reassures the disciples who were fearful about his departure that they will not be left alone, and then bestows peace on them. In Hebrew, peace is shalom, an interesting word. It isn't just the absence of war or conflict. It has to do with physical well-being, spiritual well-being, material well-being, emotional well-being, spiritual well-being. When the first century believer said shalom or peace, my friend, it meant something far deeper than I hope nothing goes bad for you today or have a good day. Instead, for the first century person, it meant something like, I hope you're healthy and well-fed. I hope you're clothed and housed comfortably. I hope your spirit is strong. I hope you are right with God. That's the kind of peace that Jesus seeks to leave his followers with. And truthfully, it's the kind of peace that he wishes for us to experience today. a peace that allows us to be faithful in the midst of whatever we're facing, whatever troubles us, whatever challenges lie ahead. That prayer for peace is also my prayer for all of you today, that you'll know the peace of God's abiding presence in your life. We continue to long for safety, for airplanes not to collide, for flooding to end, for displaced persons to find homes, for terrorism and war to cease. In essence, we long for that day when the gates of the city, the doors of our home, won't need to be locked. May we someday join St. John and see in the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. May we someday live next to the river of life, feel the shade of the tree of life, eat its fruit, and see the nations of the world be healed. It is going to happen because God is in the process of making all things new. As we wait for that day, we pray for the Holy Spirit to descend upon our hearts, giving us peace as we too love the world that God so deeply loves. Would you join me in prayer, please? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. Wean it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, strength to me impart, and make me love you as I ought to love. Amen. Our sermon hymn is number 800. I invite you to rise as you are able.
Make me love you as I ought to.